Longstreet shook his head. That was another thing he did not think about. Armstead said disgustedly, "They think we're fighting to keep the slaves. He says that's what most of Europe thinks the war is all about. Now, what are we supposed to do about that?" Longstreet said nothing. The war was about slavery, all right. That was not why Longstreet fought, but that was what the war was about, and there was no point in talking about it. Never had been. Armstead said, "Old Fremantle said one thing that was interesting. He said whole time he's been in this country, he never heard the word slave. He said we always call them servants. Now you know that's true. I never thought of it before, but it's true." Longstreet remembered his speech. "In a land where all slaves are servants, all servants are slaves, and thus ends democracy." A good line. But it didn't pay to think on it. Armstead was saying, "That Fremantle is kind of funny. He said that we Southerners were the most polite people he'd ever met, but then he noticed we all of us carry guns all the time, wherever we went. And he figured that maybe that was why." "He," Armstead chuckled. "But we don't really need the Limeys, do we, Pete, you think? Not so long as we have old Bobby Lee to lead the way." Pickett's party was quieting. The faces were turning to the moon. It was a moment before Longstreet, slightly deaf, realized they had turned to the sound of the tenor singing, an Irish song. He listened. "Oh, hast thou forgotten how soon we must sever? Oh, hast thou forgotten how soon we must part? It may be for years, it may be forever." "That boy can sing," Longstreet said. "That's Kathleen Mavourneen, am I right?" He turned to Armstead. The handsome face had gone all to softness. Longstreet thought he was crying just for a moment, but there were no tears, only the look of pain. Armstead was gazing toward the sound of the voice, and then his eyes shifted suddenly and he looked straight down. He knelt there unmoving while the whole camp grew slowly still, and in the dark silence, the voice sang the next verse, softer, with great feeling, with great beauty. Very far off to Longstreet's dull ear, far off and strange, from another time. An older, softer time. And Longstreet could see tears on faces around the fire, and men beginning to drop their eyes, and he dropped his own, feeling a sudden spasm of irrational love. Then the voice was done. Armstead looked up. He looked at Longstreet and then quickly away. Out in the glade, they were sitting motionless. And then Pickett got up suddenly and stalked, face wet with tears, rubbing his cheeks, grumbling. Then he said stiffly, "Good cheer, boys. Good cheer tonight." The faces looked up at him. Pickett moved to the rail fence and sat there and said, "Let me tell you the story of old Tangent, which is Dick Ewell's horse, which, as God is my final judge, is not only the slowest and orneriest piece of horse flesh in all this here army, but possibly also the slowest horse in this hemisphere, or even in the history of all slow horses." The faces began to lighten. A bottle began to move. Pickett sat on the rail fence like old Baldy Ewell riding the horse. The laughter began again. And in the background, they played something fast and light, and the tenor did not sing. In a few moments, Pickett was doing a hornpipe with Fremantle, and the momentary sadness had passed like a small mist. Longstreet wanted to move over there and sit down, but he did not belong there. Armstead said, "You hear anything of Win Hancock?"
"Ran into him today," Longstreet gestured. "He's over that way, a mile or so."
"That a fact," Armstead grinned. "Bet he was tough."
"He was."
"Ha," Armstead chuckled. He's the best they've got, and that's a fact.
Yep.
Like to go on over and see him soon as I can, if it's all right.
Sure. Maybe tomorrow.
Well, that'll be fine.